Reish Samachay, we're up to the very last sif. The sif Yud Gimel. Is Yom Amila Shechal B'Yom Tainis Tzibur. Is a brismila that's chal on a day of a Tainis Tzibur, Aksuvim. One of the Tainis Tzibur that are written in Navi. Mispalalim slichais, you say the normal slichais, v'aymerim didoi kedarkam, v'aynaymer v'hurachum v'loy nefilas hapayim. So it's a little unclear. It's clear you don't say tachnu, not v'hurachum, not nefilas hapayim. But here it says v'aymerim havidoi kedarkam, which is that you say ashamnu bagadnu, on a mila that's chal on the yom tainis. The Ramah says, "Avol oimrim kel erech apayim." It's an area of confusion in shuls. On a day you don't say tachnun. There are days you don't say tachnun. What exactly you don't say on a yom shomer by tachnun? In most shuls, when they don't say tachnun, then they don't say kel erech apayim. There are actually two sets of days. There are days you don't say olam natzayach yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, and on those days you don't say kel erech apayim. And on the other days you don't say tachnun, but you do say lam natzayach. On those days you do say kel erech apayim. So you didn't have the pshara, and most people don't even say kel erech apayim a whole year because they don't know what I'm talking about. And when they open the Aron Kodesh, say kel erech apayim, the two mischais in the siddur. So that's what it's talking about. Okay, so this is basically the din of a tainis. Naturally, agav, we learn from here, I mean, that you don't say tachnun on a day that you have a bris. What's interesting... No. The reason you say ashamnu on the day of slichus is only the minig that Nusach Sfarad has, it comes up here, Arizal, to say ashamnu bagadnu before nefilas hapayim, is based on desire. Desire says that when a person says Nefilas Hapayim, he's supposed to imagine himself, Kilu, he's passed from the world, and they're burying him. That's what you're supposed to be thinking when you say Nefilas Hapayim. So since you're supposed to imagine you're not alive anymore, so before a person dies, he has to say Vidui. That's where the meaning comes to say Vidui. And it's good to say Vidui anyway. First of all, you should say Vidui. Avinu Malkeinu, typically we say on a day you don't say tachnun. If there's a bris, you don't say tachnun, but you say Avinu Malkeinu. I think that's the Hanhaga Sa'ilam. What? It's a mechuva. Okay, I think that's the mechuva. The Shach here brings some of the menhagim, the piyutim, which basically have fallen from practice. He brings in the beginning, Kasav b'min hagim kuflam zayim yesh mila ben kisul asar ayim ezachar bris demila v'al tafer b'ashkama v'tzarch leim began pizma in ka'iyim v'aymer avinu malkeinu says say ayim v'en keinu v'ayin ayim avu hurach v'mesachnum gam b'tzen gedali b'mila avu laymer kelar chapayim v'lam natzayach. Now these are the mahagim of a day that you say tachna. At the end he brings kasav b'hagas min hagim at the end of shach of dalid. He brings the meaning that we have to say Aleinu. That's interesting. We don't do that. We say Aleinu, and then we say Aleinu again. He says, in the source, you say Aleinu afterwards. He says, "Oidagu shalay lachleitz tefillin ad achar hamila mishum shatfillin heimais v'hamila gam kenais." And this is the custom, is at least Avi Aben and the Sandik. Some had a mayalim, don't feel comfortable, I guess, with wearing the tefillin. But the Sandik and the Avi Aben keep the tefillin on. And those who want to be Zohir in the Olam also keep the tefillin on. Tefillin is ice, and Mila is an ice, and therefore a person should keep on his tefillin. So the Velte is Akasha, then it says Shabbos is ice and tefillin is ice, so you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. So why here it says Mila's eyes and Tefillin's eyes, you do wear Tefillin? Like, it doesn't make sense.
You always have two eyes.
So the answer that's usually given is that Tefillin is the baby's eyes. The baby doesn't wear Tefillin. Mila is the baby's eyes. Everyone has a Mila, but today, the Mila is the eyes of the baby, and you wear Tefillin, and the baby has his
something. After the Mila, you take off the
Okay, I hear. Yeah, really? I think usually the understanding is that you're celebrating the baby's eyes, so you wear an eyes of tefillin. Shabbos is your eyes, and tefillin is your eyes. So now, what's the shaychus of Aleinu to the Bris Mila? So Aleinu was written by Yeshua ben Nun. Wrote when they came into Eretz Yisrael. He wrote. Well, what's the Indian of Aleinu? Aleinu is there was a dar that didn't see Gaim, the dar Hamidbar that grew up. They were never exposed to the Umas Ha'Elam, and they came into Eretz Yisrael. It was a culture shock for them to see Gaim. And Aleinu l'shabech l'dayin ha'kayel is a praise on Kadosh Baruch Hu being mavchin between the Umas Ha'Elam and Klal Yisrael. It's that moment to take that moment and to appreciate that havchana. Reb Shimon bar Yochai made the takana to say at the end of davening by the churban bayis sheni. That's what the chida brings in Shem Hagdolim. He brings that Reb Shimon bar Yochai was masakin to say Aleinu l'shabeach after the churban bayis sheni. I imagine the same idea that Klal Yisrael was going out to a golus bein ha'umais. So therefore, Aleinu was an appropriate thing to say. You finish davening, so until you daven, so you have dafyomi and you have. You're in shul, you're among yidden, and you go out into the Gaisha world. So before that, you say the Aleinu l'shabeach, which is appropriate according to that idea, lahavchin bein umais b'Yisrael lahamin. And then it's appropriate also at a bris mila, which is a bris, and also by kiddush hachaydish we say Aleinu, because by kiddush hachaydish also the levana shem asidim l'schadish kamaisa, the mesayim are compared to the sun that has its own that has a constant state. And Levana is compared to Klal Yisrael that has a renewal. So those two places, there's a minute to say Aleinu, which is an appropriate filler for the concept of Aleinu. They say Michamarav together, they don't say Aleinu after Mincha like we do in Yom Kippur. Like we don't say Aleinu, we go from one filler to the next.
And they don't have a bris in the shul.
Who? They don't do the bris in the shul? They don't say Aleinu after the bris. Alright, so they have an argument. The Shach brings this many. They don't say Aleinu after Kiddush HaChadosh either. Okay? So they have the Menachem. But the not saying Tachnon, it's interesting that the not saying Tachnon, the way it's brought, Mishnah Berurah, I forgot to read Mishnah Berurah, but it's brought that in a Kehillah that has a bris, you don't say Aleinu by any of them. You don't say Tachnon by any of the minyanim. If let's say there's an oval or some other reason not to say so, or let's say you have a mayil who's going somewhere else to do a bris, so if there's a mayil or a sandik at a minyan, you don't say Tachnon. But then the other minyanim say Tachnon. But if a kehila has a bris, even if the bris, if the shul has three minyanim for shachris, and the bris is only in one, that all of them don't say tachnun. So what? Even if it's a different minyan, Mael's not there, right? Even the Mael's not there, it's a din in the kila. The kila has a bris. It brings a lashon that the base that nesses hagadol shabir doesn't say, and the batei midrashim ketanim. What base lachem Yehuda? Where you looking? Let's see what the base lachem Yehuda. Base lachem Yehuda on the side. If the big shul didn't have, so even the minyan in the base medrash didn't say. Rishalti l'skeinim v'shivilu kach min hagam. Chaydaigim v'prag sheshchiluk be'ezer base haknesses molin malalais be'ezer dikra altanya the alta shul altanaya shul ozai ein oibri v'cha base haknesses. If it's the Kehila shul, that patters everybody. If it's a shtibul, it doesn't patter other shuls. So our minig is not to say here in the shul, if a member of the tzibur of the shul has a bris, so we all don't say tachnun. If someone rents, let's say down here, and does a bris from outside the shul, So then we do say tachton in the other minyanim. That minyan obviously doesn't.
But then, in
the previous minyan. Yeah, okay. It's still if it's the same kihila, it's the same group. So you don't say tachton. So if you don't say tachon by shakras, you do say by mincha, except the three balei simcha, the mael, the sandik, and the father, they don't say. When I was in the suburbs in Kiryas Yael, I used to daven in the big shul, so they come out and never said tachon. But there it was al pidin, because every day they had at least one bris. You know, in Kiryas Yael they had the big shul, and there's always at least one bris, and can you and therefore. Yes, it was more kedin not to say tachnon than in many other places. All right, so this is if you gimel the end simurei samachayim the minhagim that take place at the bris itself. All right, rei samavav, we move on to eizeh mila deicha shabbos v'yantif. We move on to a new topic, which bris is deicha shabbos and yantif. Very appropriate. Mendy Stern had a bris of an einikol on Shabbos yesterday. For Shabbos, and he did not bring any bagels today. But, okay. I should say, Shlomi has and Tzvi has had a bris Friday, and they did bring at least some pancakes. So, Mr. Shem Mendy, next time you'll remember, okay?
With every bagel that they had.
Every bagel, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't bring the bilkolos. That's right. Shalom. Okay, at any rate, let's go on to Reis Aleph. Sif Aleph. Mila beimizmana beimishloi bizmana deicha tzaras. So first of all, most of us think tzaras, that's not noyig bizmana zeh. Right? That's a mitzvah that's noyig only bizman b'shebeisamishkai. That's not true. All the dinei tzaras are noyig today, except I've yet to see anybody with a nega. The negoim aren't prevalent. If somebody today would have what's a nega, then I guess we would have to. I think that Tiferes Yisrael writes in his Akdama to Mishnayos Negoim, if I'm not mistaken, I think he writes in a few places that he met Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega, he was a young boy, and he met Rabbi Kivega. He asked him a bunch of questions. I think he writes there, one of the questions he asked him was why there are no Negoim Bizman Hazeh. Why there's no Tzaras Bizman Hazeh? So, I think he told them there are no kainim yuchasim. There are no kainim yuchasim. A nega is not a nega unless a kain says it's a nega. And if there are no kainim yuchasim, so what are we going to get? The suffix nega. So, there are no nega.
Somebody was a bechir and had a opinion of Ben. So, the kain that was fighting him.
Opinion of Ben is not awful.
The kain that was fighting him, would he judge him?
No. One doesn't define the other. But the truth is that there's a tour shar. Right, the question was, if Tzaras comes for Lashon Hara, why does the Tinnik have Tzaras? The answer is, we don't know why things happen. It could come for Lashon Hara. A lot of things come for a lot of reasons. And I don't know why the baby has Tzaras. I have no idea. Maybe the previous Gilgal he said Lashon Hara. I don't know. But Tzaras is a halach, has nothing to do with Lashon Hara. Yeah, I'm saying, but he's asking, why does the baby have it? There's another reason. The Tvor Sharm, Sechta Shabbos, brings a beautiful biur, and why there's no Tzaras. He says that Tzaras, we find in Tanakh generally Tzaras by great people. Moshe Rabbeinu got Tzaras, and Miriam had Tzaras, and even the Mitzrayim. Says it was Dayek and others, but they were Bali Madrega who had Tzaras. He said Tzaras is really a gift from heaven. Imagine if every time you spoke Lashon Hara, bang, you got a nega. So after a while you would stop speaking Lashon Hara. It's sort of a bracha. You know, if every time you did something wrong, bang, your lightning struck, it would be nice because you wouldn't like the lightning, but you would stop doing it. So he goes, the Tvusha goes on the Gemara. The Gemara says, La'olam yiyu b'gadacha levanim. It says, Eilu tamidei chachamim sheberetz Yisrael. Tamidei chachamim shebebavel wore colored clothing. In Eretz Yisrael they wore white. It says, because in Eretz Yisrael they were Bali Madrega. And they had a Dinei Nega Tzaras. And in Chutz Lares, they wore begadim and tzion, colored begadim, which don't have dinei neged tzaras. He said neged tzaras is only bei bala medrega, and if you're not a bala medrega, you're not zeichet to neged tzaras. That's what Tefor Shah writes, which is a reason why today there's no negar. But anyway, what we learn from this sif is that there are dinei tzaras b'zman hazeh, theoretically. I should add that in Arachayim, sif simin lamed ches, the last sif, in sif la simin lamed ches, the Mechaber says, Menuda u'mitzayra peturim mitvillin, asurim mitvillin. It says that if somebody is a menuda in chayrim, or a mitzayra, he's not supposed to wear tefillin. Mishnah Berurah there says the shach in Yeridei Shilamidalit argues that the shach in Shilamidalit, which hilchas menuda, only argues legabi menuda. Doesn't talk about a mitzayra. So someone has tzaras, is not as a Pashtus, he doesn't put on tefillin, so the Mechaber says.
Only
he has a sack from a kai. So getting back to the Shulchan Aruch, Mila Bebezmana Beishle, Bezmana Deichet Saras. Why? Why is Mila Deichet Saras? I say, Deichalaisa say, at the beginning of Yavamis, that cutting off a nega is a Nisa Deiraisa, and cutting off an Arla is a Mitzvah Deiraisa. So if you have a nega on the Arla and you're going to cut it off, you're over the lav of Hishomer b'neged tzaras, Hishomer is alive, and Yibakai ben Asay. So Shemiesh b'heres b'ara arla, afu b'shem tzitzitza b'heres lois asay, chaytcha ima arla. Aval im la'acha shenimo godo b'sar b'milo asay, atshede niramol, b'tzarach l'chaytcha. If you have a mila d'rabonon, which means you did a right mila, but the baby is has a growth where it grows back over the arla, since that cutting is only a mitzvah drabba. So this is a
sefer.
Yeah, but said, if no kohen said it's a nega, then it's not a nega. We learn how the Mishnah says in the Goyim that if you have a chosn who has a nega, we don't give a kohen, doesn't look at him.
Don't call the
Kayan
and do the
Mila. Don't call the Kayan and do the Mila. That's a good question. Yeah, this is Sarah Sakas if we learn how to. I don't know. Why don't you not call it a nega? So I don't know. Anyway, this is the halacha of a Sayyid Eichalaisa. It was interesting in Yeshiva. We learned that Sayyid Eichalaisa say, we spent, let's say, 6 or 7 weeks on a Sayyid Eichalaisa. Some Yeshiva spent 6 or 7 months on Yavamis, on the three blot of a Sayyid Eichalaisa say. When we finished, I challenged the guys in my shir to come up. How many asay daichalaisas is our b'chola tairakula? The whole and everything, Babli, Yushali, every Yushamis are brought in Taisus and Yavamis. We came up with 9 total. I've never come up with an additional one. 9 cases of asay daichalaisas. 4 of the 9 are very similar. A nazir does giluach, which is an asay. Even though it's the lava payas harayish and payas azaka, the same thing. A mitzayra does tagalachas, even though it's daichad asay of payas harayish payas. That's 4 out of the 9. Those 2 tagalachas, so that's 4 out of 9. And then you have the ones in Yavamis. Yibum is daichal is the lav, and tzitzis is daichad kalayim, and mila is daichad tzaras. That's 3. And Chodosh is Deicha, and Matzah is Deicha Chodosh, that's Yerushalmi. That's 8, what? No, it's not, I'll say Deicha Leitza say, because Shabbos I say, I don't like to say, it's Mzeh Sarkos. And then there's a 9th, what? That's Yerushalmi says, Matzah is Deicha Chodosh.
He was before the
Yom. He was before the Yom, right. So that's why it's a Leitza say, the Mitzvah Matzah is Deicha Leitza say. The Yerushalmi is a Kasha, why? The Babli also asks, why did they make matzah from when they came to Eretz Yisrael? Learns out of a pasuk. The Babli learns out of a pasuk that whatever grew 5 days, it grows beyond Nachri, it's mutter. They could use what was grown beyond Nachri, but anyway, the Babli, the Tosfos brings a Yerushalmi that says the Tosfos brings it in Kedushin and in also Yavamis. There's a 9th which is not a Gemara, but it's a Tosfos. Tosfos says Big Day Kuhuna is like a Shatn is also a say daichalaisa. So we had 9. Pilot Nevi is not a say daichalaisa. It has nothing to do. Why does it have to do with a say daichalaisa? Pilot Nevi is not daichalaisa. It's not daichalaisa. Only Daichalaisa say. I say Daichalaisa say is a rule. Pekuach Nefesh, we have other limudim for Pekuach Nefesh, right? Okay, anyway, that's Sif Aleph. There's one more halachi here I wanted to, I don't know, wait to discuss, I'll discuss it here. There is a contemporary issue over IVF babies that are fertilized in a dish and implanted in the mother, which is very common practice today. It doesn't make headlines, doesn't raise eyebrows. For people who have a hard time, people have a low sperm count or other reasons that have a difficulty in conceiving, they conceive in the dish and then the embryo is implanted in the mother's womb. There are really no halachic shilas regarding IVF, except that it seems that Shlomo Zalman held that the bris milah of an IVF baby is not Deicha Shabbos. This is brought in Nishmas Avraham. I don't think in Mechas Shlomo, as far as I know, I don't know if there's a tshuva about it, but the Nishmas Avraham brings from Shlomo Zalman that you're not Mechal Shabbos for an IVF baby that's born. Now, 99% of the time, only the parents know. Most people are unaware how the baby was conceived. And it's very hard to understand where it comes from. It comes in part from the... There's a Chakas Mechaikak. It talks about IVF in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't call it IVF. It calls it Nisabra Ba'ambati. There's a Gemara Chagiga about a woman that was Nisabra Ba'ambati that became pregnant by sperm that had been left in an ambati that entered her body and caused the pregnancy. The Taz in Yeridayan, what? It's the same halacha as IVF. It's not IVF because there the conception takes place in the body. But for the father didn't do it derech bia. Right? There's a similar case in Siman Kuf Tzadik Hei in Yeridayan Hilchas Nida, where the Taz brings the idea that a person should change sheets between guests, because if the zera on a sheet, it could somehow impregnate a woman later who lies down on the sheet. I don't think scientifically we understand how that could happen, but the Taz was chayshish for it. So this is brought in the beginning of Evan Ezer, I believe in Siman Aleph, and there the Chalkas Mechaikik is mesupik if the father has a din av l'chol davar. The mother is the mother, but the father, who didn't impregnate the woman in the normal derech bia, the Chalkas Mechaikik is besopik, and the Beis Shmuel rejects the Chalkas Mechaikik. So of course he's a father, he's a shayla, he's arrived from that Tazen Kuf Tzadik Hei. And therefore, it would seem that the IVF baby would be based on the Taz and the child's Akayan. That's what the Beis Shmuel. The Chalkas Mechaikik is Mesopik. The Beis Shmuel and Taz say with certainty. We'll talk about that. But right now, that's the it's very hard to understand. Shlomo Zalman writes that it has to be a normal derech leida, just like other abnormal pregnancies are not derech Shabbos. Births are not derech Shabbos. He says that this also is not So it's not a mom. That's Ramosha's famous tshuva that the Sabbath Rebbe got all upset about. Ramosha wrote, "There's no mamzeris unless it's derech bia. There's no bia sister. There's no mamzeris, and therefore." Even if a woman were to become pregnant from a brother's sperm that was IVF, then the child is not a mamzer because there was no maisabia, there was no isakaris in the maisabia, and therefore that's where Moshe held very strongly that it's not. The Sabbe Rebbe took exception to Ramosha's being matir doing it, and expressed a suffix as to the status of the child. He doesn't. There are a number of letters from him, and it's over this. The Satma community doesn't allow the Igros Moshe into their shuls over this dispute. Ramosha himself wrote additional tshuvas on the topic, but because it became so controversial, Ramosha did not print his later tshuvas in the Igros Moshe. They're printed in the Dibros Moshe, the volume Ksuvas and Nedarim. Between Ksuvas and Nedarim, they printed Ramosha's follow up letters on this topic. So someone's a Talmud Chacham, he wants to learn it, so he'll know it's in the Dibros Moshe, Ksuvas and Nedarim. Somebody wants to make a tumul, so he's never going to dream of looking at Dibros Moshe, It doesn't say on the band. It says Ksuvus the Darv. It doesn't say Ksuvus and then letters and the Darv. You know, so very few people are aware that it's there. Ramesha was very conscious always of his Tshuvus being accepted by a broad group in Klal Yisrael as much as possible. And at any rate, this was his psak. I started to say in the later print of Nishas Avraham, I think he called it Chelek Dalad. After he printed three volumes, Archaim, Yerdeya, and then one volume for Eben Ezra Chayesh Mishba. There's a fourth volume, which is a Sefer Amiluim. There he has a letter from Rabbi Avadia Yosef, who disagrees with Shem Zalman's psak, and holds that an IVF baby is Daicha Shabbos, and I think he disagrees rather strongly. He does bring there that Rabbi Yashiv said, like Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, that there shouldn't be Daicha Shabbos, at least Masafik. So there's a difference of opinion on the matter. Shlomo Zalman said it's not Daicha, Rabbi Yashiv is not stick that. Rabbi Avadia held that it is Daicha Shabbos. So be that as it may, that's one of the controversies. It's not clear to me. It's very difficult for me to understand. He writes that it's not done in the regular derech. It's not the regular derech, just like we find in the Caesarean. It's not Daicha Shabbos. It's not the regular derech. It's hard to understand. The Caesarean, there are a lot of din. It's a lay. There are a lot of dinim. Caesarean has different. Bechar from a Caesarean is not a Bechar. It's Kastim Petarechem. Is there anything to do with IVF? So it's a little hard to see the connection exactly. Maybe if you look at it, you'll understand it better. That's a really good question. IVF will get be in a band, according to this. So I would think it does.
Could it be a Bechar?
I would think it does. And would it be a Bechar? It should be a Bechar. It's Petarechem. There's a Gemara, I mentioned to you once, a Chulin. There's a Gemara in Perik Behema Makasha. There's a Gemara. It's a one-line Gemara. The Gemara says if you have two cows that stand next to each other, hind to hind, and one of them is a pregnant cow, one is not. And the baby goes from its mother cow, and it decides it doesn't like it there. So it shifts to the second cow's womb. So Gemara is a Shaila, whether that's called Petarechem. Well, that's Petarechem. So Gemara says, take. Gemara says, anybody. So Tosfos there says it never happened. It's not going to happen. It's drush for kabel schar. One second. He says that by the chamar, by the para. Tosfos says drush for kabel schar. That it's never going to happen. Drush for kabel schar. So we know that today that's pretty much what happens with a baby that is conceived with surrogate mothers. That these things, it doesn't quite happen the way it says in the Gemara, but it happens. And the Shlomi is pointing out the Marsha and the Sechtes Nida says that Dina and Yosef switched wombs miraculously.
If the cow was bottled for it, it'll happen.
Yeah. if the donor is a mamzer, that would transfer.
What?
If the donor in IVF is a mamzer.
If the donor, that's interesting. If the donor is a mamzer, would the child be a mamzer? If the donor is a kain, the child would be a kain. Ramesh's tshuva doesn't. I don't think it addresses that. I don't think it addresses that. But you're right. Machayer the yichus goes and it goes.
I thought that is Ramesh's
also
for
mamzer in
order to make the kids not
be mamzer.
Isn't that where
I don't think so. Maybe.
So the Satmar opposition is just to the mosaic issue, or that was the opposition issue?
Well, they're opposed to this whole newfangled way of. I know a family, a Sama family, because they spoke to me to be Shalitza. They did an IVF. They knew in Williamsburg that's not going to happen. They told everyone he got a job in England. They moved to England for 2 years, and there they did IVF and had a baby. And then they moved back. He lost his job, so they moved back to Williamsburg. So I know that it's very hard. What should I tell you? There it's different. The IVF for husband and wife is one thing. IVF from donor sperm is already much more controversial.
Who is the mother in the case of the surrogate mother?
The question of who's the mother in the case of a surrogate mother is a very explosive topic. The muskel rishon, who's the mother in the case of a surrogate mother when you have donor eggs, the muskel rishon is that the second mother is nothing more than an incubator. Right? You have the first mother, who donated the eggs. Today, it's an ongoing thing. It's a rabbanim today deal with it regularly. There are companies that deal with donor eggs. And did we discuss this recently? I don't remember. Because we just had an ksubis on Daf Yud Aleph. Gemuskel Rishon, the donor eggs works like this. People donate eggs. It's $5,000. You donate eggs, it's $5,000. How do you donate eggs? It's not just one egg. They inject the mother, they prep her to cause her to ovulate numerous eggs on the given month. And they do the retrieval. They take out the eggs, they freeze them. If they try to do it fresh, which is better. Frozen eggs have a lower rate of success. And it's $5,000. That's what they get paid. In the universities, there are women doing it all the time. And the recipient fills out a form. It's a multiple-page form. I happen to have it on my computer here in the shul. It's a multiple-page form. They give you, because the people want the child to resemble the parents. Be very awkward if a Jewish person would have a child that has African or Chinese features. It would be very awkward. So it's a numerous page thing where they tell you the features of the maternal grandparents and paternal grandparents. They give you a whole thing of features, and you choose the child that you want, the egg that you want. And it's done on a regular basis by law. Now, these companies are not government companies, they're private companies, but they're regulated by the government. They're not allowed to tell you the identity of the biological mother. Now, the issue is the following. Logically, and I think most places can hold this way, is that the mother is the biological mother, not the surrogate mother, not the one who carries the baby and gives birth, because what is she? She's an incubator. Someday they may have incubators that could help the child from day one of conception. Who knows? The problem with that is that there are difficulties from the sugya of Muberish and Nizgaira. There's a sugya of Muberish and Nizgaira, a pregnant woman who became pregnant, Hayrasa Shaloi B'Kedusha, became pregnant at Goy. She goes to the mikveh and she gives birth as a Jew. That's the closest thing in the Gemara to a surrogate mother. Because here you have a mother who conceived as a non-Jew and who gave birth as a Jew. And yet, it's a strange mix. There are a number of halachis that give relationship between the children. Taisus on Yeraf and Alf and Ksubis discusses this by Muberish and Nizgaira. He brings that if twins are born from this conception, from this birth, they're brothers. They have a dinner of brothers. And that is the Pinyin Abed. Now, Pinyin Abed is not just a strong raya, because that should go by Peterechem. That goes by birth. But the fact that they're brothers would seem to be a raya, that the surrogate mother is related. Taisus said, that's a Gemara. Taisus says that the children would inherit their mother. They're related to their mother, they would inherit their mother. Even though it appears the children are gerim. It appears that the children are gerim. Shulchan Aruch, hopefully we'll learn Hilchas Geiris. If the Bimila comes Hilchas Geiris. And there it says that when the mother is Tevel, the tefillah is a tefillah, the Gemara says in Yavamis, that the tefillah is a tefillah for the baby as well. The mother is a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, if you hold up Yerachimai, so you would tevel the baby. If you hold up a lav Yerachimai, so the Gemara says, Hainu Revise, is that a chatzitza? Because that's not a chatzitza, it's a normal way for the baby to be. So the baby's a ger. The baby's a ger that's related to his mother and related to his brother. You ask a riddle, how do you have a chatzitza? Someone's a ger and he's related from birth to his brother, to a brother and to his mother. So that seems to indicate that a surrogate mother is a mother. And therefore there are at least two shitas. The Tzitz Eliezer has the strangest shita of all. Tzitz Eliezer says, this baby has no mother. In din. There's no mother. The mother is only conception and birth. Otherwise, no din mother at all, which is a dasyachin at the very least. Someone wants to see in the contemporary halachic issues from Rabbi Bleich, he has a collection of all the opinions in a very nice piece, I think the third volume, which we have upstairs. All right, getting back to Sif Beis, to more ordinary, typical halachas. If somebody does deal with donor eggs, they should get involved with Rabbanim who are at least a little knowledgeable in it, so that 20 years later, there aren't problems. You know, when you go to Shidduchim, and you know, it's hard to know how the avir of the Psak Halacha on this topic will evolve. It's very hard to know, and I've been involved. People, it's a very time-consuming process, but I've been involved with the family where we were able, with tremendous yata d'shmaya, to identify the mother, and we made a bezdin, myself and two other rabbanim, and we didn't tell anybody who the mother is. We gave a ksav to the family that says the birth date of the mother. And later on, because really there's a problem, one of the Sabbath Rebbe's problems were that that Chazal really were against this type of thing. Shema Yisa, person may end up marrying a Chaisa, or a relative you're not allowed to marry. So he wrote the birth date of the mother. We know also where the mother lives and where the grandmother lives, and we have the information, and if it ever comes to it, it takes away from this chashad. It's not an easy thing to do. You have to put pressure on the company. You say you want a Jewish embryo, and then you say, how do you know? How do you prove it? The company is very interested in selling and doing their business, and so they gave us information that that came from the mother, and we had tremendous siyata d'shmaya. We were able to trace it down, and we actually, not myself, but this from a different city, a rav in that city visited the mother of the girl who's in university that donated it. And she started saying, oh, Baruch Hashem, I was against her giving. Who knows where the child will be? The child will be in a from family. I'm so happy. Like it was Dvarim and Ikarim that everything was true. And so we were able to trace it down. But it's a big avoida. It doesn't work every time. But if someone is involved in it, they should try to get people involved. There is one Yid, an Israeli Jew, very strange character, who's involved in doing these type of things. That's his parnosa. He traces Mamzeris. He traces all these type of things. He puts in. You have to be strange. You know, he walks into people's homes and questions them. And he's very often matzliach.
Yes.
Why we want the Jewish eggs? It's better to have a goyish egg and there's no shalom amzeres. We want the Jewish eggs if we can. We want the Jewish eggs if we can figure out who the mother is and know. And that's the best thing. Yeah, but if Yannick is better by a guy, nobody really wants a child from a guy. So we're going to do, have a child of the child's a gair afterwards. It's cut from the mother. You can have a child of the child's a gair, and then once she wants to marry a guy, you're going to have problems.
Isn't the same problem as adoption? Same issues that come up as adoption?
There are different issues. Adoption also has issues.
I mean, is it better to have a non-Jewish child adopted?
If you don't know the identity of the mother, it's better to have a non-Jewish child.
So the last one you just made, you need a
gerus misafek on donor egg? I think according to the majority of Shitas, the donor mother is the real mother, and the biological mother is the real mother, and that would make the child a guy.
And the donor mother...
And the bris certainly wouldn't be Deich HaShadis. If the child's a guy, the bris is certainly not Deich HaShadis. What?
You need to have a gerut.
Right.
If the donor is a...
That's right. Let's move on to Sif Beis. It's what? Our own eggs, there's no problem. Yeah. Tzitzieza, I can't speak for. I never learned it inside. I saw it in Rabbi Blass's book. He brings such a sheet of Tzitzieza. Look, you know, I'm just saying it. You learn it, and you'll see it is strange. I don't know. Sif Beis. Mila Daicha Yamtif Shabbos is mana. Right, Mandy? Mila's Daicha Shabbos or Yamtif. Why does it say Yantif before Shabbos? Anybody have any idea? In the introduction, the title of the parak says Deicha Shabbos for Yantif. Very good question. Mila Deicha Yantif for Shabbos. Bismana. So I don't know why it says Yantif first. A good question. Shabbos is 52 times a year and Yantif is less. Yeah, so they're equal. Okay, good. Mila Deicha Yantif for Shabbos Bismana. Avo Shalai Bismana Ein Deicha. It's all Xeris Hakosis. Aval Bismana, Mafila Bismana, in a Deicha la Mila Atzma, or Priya Metzitza. Even Bismana, what's Deicha? Mila, Priya, and Metzitza. Vafilu Pirish, Chayzer Altitza Ma'akvim. Even if you cut off the Arla and you see that you left over Tzitzin, pieces of flesh, Hama'akvim, which are Ma'akiv, you go back and cut them off. Dehainu, Im Nisha, Me Ha'ar, Arachayfa, Rav Gaiva, Shalatara, Afilu B'makim Echad. We discussed this in Reis HaMadalad, that if an amount that's left is Ma'akvim in the Mila, of course you go back, it's Pashim. Val She'ena Ma'akvim, this is the Chiddush, if you have a little bit of Arla left, but it's not Ma'akiv, it's a Kasher Bris, Imloi Pirish Chayzer. If he's still being metapel with the Arla, with the Bris, he can cut it off. It's called one Hemshech. If he's Pirish, ain't a Chayzer. And once he's Pirish, you don't go back for Hidr Mitzvah. For Hidr Mitzvah is not Techer Shabbos, so you don't go back for Noistim Balayas Polanis, and then you put on the medicine on it, and that's what you do. Now, Pirish, you withdrew your hands from the meal, as the Rashi says. You withdrew your hand from the...
1 second, 10 seconds.
I don't know. Pirish is they finish being the tapel. It's a tipul. You have to the chitoch and the priya and the tzitza. So anywhere along the way, you can still cut. It's a subject of tremendous debate. How common it is, but it's more common than anybody cares to admit. Depending on the mile.
Why would it be there for Shabbos even if you're still holding your mouth?
Because he's still busy with the malachis, and therefore it's all part of the mitzvah. It's all part of the ma'asan mitzvah. I suppose. What? Therefore, what? Success of kasev. Oh, you mean mitaych on shchita? So we're going to discuss it later. Look at Yom Tushani. They're going to talk about Yom Tavishan as well. Why don't we say mitaych?
Can you go back to
Shabbos?
Can you go back or
else
for the next day?
No, Mitzitza you still do. Mitzitza you would do. Yeah, one of the tainis and those who say Mitzitza is for Sakana, Bismanazet, it's not a Sakana. If you really hold that way, it should be also to do Mitzitza. It should be also Mitzitza on Shabbos. It's a Malacha, and if you hold you really don't need it, just for health, and today's Danageya, it should be also to do Mitzitza on Shabbos. That's one of the subjects of the argument. Anyway, this machaber is, yeah. It's a bigger chiddush. Now, Biyadav is a bigger chiddush because even Sfeka Diyayma is Daicha. That's true. And again, we're going to discuss this in Yitzhak Hashem later on in the Siman, what you're saying. The Tumul, this is really a simple halacha as far as halacha al-Mais is concerned. There's a Lamdish Tumul in the first Pesachei Tshuva. Rabbi Kivager has a Geshmaka Kler, which is also in the Mechaschin of Mitzvah Beis. There's a rule in the Gemara in Tmura, Kol Milsa Da'amar Rachman Olei Savid, Yavid Loi Mahani. There's such a rule, Kol Milsa Da'amar Rachman Olei Savid, Yavid Loi Mahani, which the Gemara asks from a bunch of places, and it says that most of them, oh, there it's different, there it's different, the other one's different. So there are very few places in Halacha L'Maisa where it comes up, but Rabbi Kivager clears by Mila. If you do a Mila Shalai Bizman on Shabbos, B'dievet, is it good? That's Rabbi Kivager's clear. If you do a Mila Shalai Bizman, is it good? Or do you need a new Atafas Tambris? Just like if you did a Mila through a guy or some other thing. So here the Michas Chinuch has one of his Geshmaka patented clairs. The Michas Chinuch says, Kivager says a similar thing, it's only if it's a Malacha on Shabbos. So it's only a malacha on Shabbos if it's misake. But kalkul b'chabura, we pass it as not a malacha.
Oh boy.
So the Mechassira says like this. If you say kol mazal b'chassal yavid lai mahani, then it didn't help. If it didn't help, then you're a makalkul. If you're a makalkul, you didn't do malacha. If you didn't do malacha, then it should be a good bris. Because yavid lai mahani, so you didn't do malacha, then it should be a good bris. Then once it's a good bris, then it does help. And once it does help, then it's misake, so it goes round and round. So Rabbi Kivager here, without saying it in this geshmak away, clears this, and he says it's a misake anyway, because you don't have to cut off the whole arla. You only have to do a toughest ambris, so you're still misake. He made it better, legabe, an easier job on Sunday. That's what Rabbi Kivager says. At the end of Pesachei Tshuva says, that Rabbi Kivega wrote this Lepapula di Alma. It's really Bukhar from a Gemara in Shabbos Kaflam and Zayin. The Amila Shalai Bismana B'diyevit is a good bris. Must be Rabbi Kivega's letter was written just for the pilpul of the Sugya and not a Shaila Lahaloch. So let's move on to the Ramah. This is my Ramah. We're going to learn a little bit of Hilchas Muktzah. Amedi, what did they do with the knife after the bris?
I was holding the baby, I don't know.
Oh, okay. He was seeing stars. A Mila knife is Muktzah Machlas Sarin Kis. It's a Mila knife, is a type of Muktzah, which is Muktzah, period. When you do a bris, is it Muktzah or isn't it Muktzah? This is a Machlaikis Rishayim. The Beis Yosef brings from Rabbeinu Yeruchim, who says that a mila knife on Shabbos is not muktzah, because now the because is a little bit of an issue. We're going to discuss it shortly. He says a mila knife is not muktzah. After the bris, you can be metalkal it whatever you like, and that's what the Rama will bring. In Darkei Moshe, Rama brings the Maril, who says no. When you do the mitzvah, it's not muktzah. But once you finish the mitzvah, bang, it becomes muktzah. The minhag today of the Mayalim, they have to put the knife down because they have to do the kriya, is that usually they do a bris in a home, in a corner. They have a satchel open, and they drop it in. As soon as they do the bris, they drop it in there, and then they don't have to be metaltalit. Usually the satchel has more dvarim amutarim, it's a basis lahetul eser, they can carry the satchel away. So we're machmir. However, as we're going to see, the Ramah and the Shach HaMekel. Two G'dayli HaPaiskim. Let's learn the Ramah. Ramah, Mutzah L'Tata L'Yizem L'Achar Amila. You're allowed to handle the knife after the bris, L'Tzniyai, B'Chotzer HaMa'urav, to carry it. You have a chotzer with an Erev, you can carry it wherever you like. Ava Gevdein Etzarech Lo Yoyd Baisu Shabbos. There are no more babies to do a bris milah. D'ho Lo Yhupsa Bein HaShmashis. Me'achad HaTzarech Lo Yoyd Baisu Shabbos. Ken Yerali. He says, because it was Bein HaShmashis, it was a tzairach for it. And he says, Kei Nir Ali, in parentheses, he explains, Heter Tiltol Kosav in Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Mitzvah Aleph. Hatam hu Divrei HaMechaber. The reason is the Ramah's reasoning. Why is it not Muktzah? Because Bein HaShmashis, it was Mutter. So here, the Taz goes to town on this. He says, well, what kind of rule is that? We have a rule, if it's Muktzah Bein HaShmashis, it's Muktzah all day. There's no such rule, if it's Mutter Bein HaShmashis, Muktzah all day. You have Shivrei Kelim, you have a Keli that's not Muktzah. It breaks in the middle of Shabbos, it becomes Muktzah. You can have things, it's not a Heter, it's an Isser. Well, what does the Ramah mean? He brings the Barshal's Losh in his Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. Ein Muktzah Shabbos doesn't mean that. Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos is only if something is Muktzah and then it becomes usable. But Yizemel, the Taz argues very very strongly, and he holds that Yizemel Shemil is Muktzah. You're only allowed to handle it Bishas Maisa, and period. In the Rav Palim, in the third volume of Rav Palim, he says that the Heter is based on the Klal of Hoyel Vishtari Yishtari, which is a Klal of Sugis HaGemara, which is very hard to apply here, but that's how he explains it.
Why don't we say that maybe it's Yavod Brit Milah?
Oh, so if there's another Brit Milah, there's no Shaila. Ramah says what he knows, when he says Yodim, we know there's no other Brit Milah. Or today, you can't carry the knife to another house anyway, so you can't carry it to another house, it's in this house, so you're stuck. There's a middle shita, which is the Gra and the Magen Avraham. The Gra here is Gra Gimel, and the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham and Gra arguing in the Kuda. This is Nagea to all of us, even though most of us never handle an Izamel Shemila. First, I'll speak out the Magen Avraham, and then how the Gra differs. The Magen Avraham says there in the beginning, he says in three places, in Shechess, in Shin Lamed Aleph, and coincidentally, in Arachayim Reis Samach Vav. This was Reis Samach Vav. Magen Avraham says a chiddush. Says the issa muktzah is only to pick up muktzah. Once you have muktzah in your hand already, you're allowed to keep on carrying it. You're allowed to carry it. He says no different heta and issa. The Magen Avraham holds even if by mistake you stick it in, not purposely by mistake you stick it in your pocket. You take out, oh, you have a dollar bill that was in your pocket. You had a wedding during the week. You have a dollar bill. So Magen Avraham holds, once you have the dollar bill in your hand, you can carry it to put it away. Kol she'ayda biyadai, there's no iser on tiltul mukts.
All types of mukts.
In Reis Samavav, he says, even Eitz Avavai.
Well, has to put it down to Priya.
One second. Even Eitz Avavai. So that's what the Magen Avraham says. The Gra here differs in this Nakuda that David mentioned. The Gra hold, that's only if you metatel at the heter originally. Let's say on your seat there's a pen on Shabbos. You let pick up the pen, klishvat elisir, let it move away, let's say kufay b'kaimim. Once you take the pen and you hand the heter, you can keep on being metatel it and put it away. If you have a graf sharei, let's say a glass breaks on a floor, so at kites you're allowed to remove it. So once you clean it up and you have it in your hand, you're allowed to carry it to wherever you want in the house. There's always some mukzah to keep on being metaltalin. Or graf sharei means, I don't know, your kid spills out raw spaghetti all over the floor. Examples that I remember from our house. So Shabbos, you're walking, he's crunching spaghetti as you walk. So you're allowed to clean it up. Once you clean it up, you don't have to drop it the first place. You take it to wherever it is that it's appropriate to take it, to throw it out. So the gros maskim, if you're metaltalipe, you stop a heter, then it's mutzah to continue. They maintain that that's Rabbeinu Yeruchim's kavana. Rabbeinu Yeruchim is never mati complete tiltal. Mutal etaltal yisemel achar amilo latzniyai b'chatz amurim. He didn't say mutal etaltal. So mutal etaltal latzniyai b'chatz amurim. While you're being metaltalit, you can continue to be metaltalit. And that's the only heter. It's sort of a shita in between. Now, obviously, if the mayel, the same mayel, is doing the bechituch and the priya, he's just going to have to put it down. It's not practical or safe to do a priya while you're holding a knife in your hand. But you know that there used to be times that they were machabe one person with mila, one person with priya. Big trouble if on Shabbos it's appropriate to separate it. So kol zeman she'ayda biyadai, you have this heter. This is the trouble. So again, we have three shitas. We have the shita of the Shulchan Aruch, and Shach Beis defends it that you're allowed to be metaltalit the whole Shabbos. Apparently, the shita of the Ramah, the Taz holds it's also metaltaloi. Magen Avraham and the Gra have it in between shita. Could be the Taz's masking maybe to the in between shita that calls man it's in your hand. You're allowed to the Mishnah Berurah and Shinches. In the beginning of Shinches brings both the Magen Avraham and the Gra for the klal of muktzah. Once you pick it up, if a person's allowed to continue being metaltal, he brings the Magen Avraham, says, once it's in your hand, it's muta, and that the Gra disagrees. The Rav Palim explains the Ramah, the Ha'il Vishtri Ishtri, that's his biur in its Gimel Yud Ches, the Chelek Gimel Arachai Yud Ches, that's his biur. That's what he. Well, the way I understand the Ramah, he holds it's a klishe melachti leheter if you have a bris that Shabbos. Muktzah v'sar kis is only a klishe melachti leiser. Okay, muktzah, there's muktzah v'sar kis. If you have a crystal vase, a crystal wine decanter, it's sar kis, but it's not muktzah. Klishe melachti leheter is not muktzah v'sar kis. The way we would understand the Ramah is that he holds that it's a klishe melachti leheter, and on Shabbos you have a bris. It's a klisha malach de'la heter. For that Shabbos, it's a davar hamoter. And that would be the easiest way to understand it if the aside is true. The beginning of Pesachei Tshuva Gimel has a confusing idea. I'm b'sev l'ushisrod, shemarit, kishamalim b'shabbos, osu l'kadeach ha'izemel min hadam. Anybody understand that? When you do Pesachei Tshuva Gimel, the very beginning, he says that when you do a bris milah, you're not allowed to wipe the blood off of the knife. What does that mean? You're not allowed to wipe the blood off of the knife. Very hard. What? Hachana. So atz muktzah, he must mean that there's no issa muktzah. So it may be that he means al tachana, that you're not allowed to wipe it al tachana. But what? Seveya. All right, I don't know. The Aruch HaShulchan Tezvav Yesh Misha Eisel Lekaneach Yizemel Min Adam B'Shabbos V'Lo Yidogu Kein Gam B'Yikar Adai Nirli Demutter Kiv Demutter L'Taltalei Tzarech Hamila Kol Ma Sheshayach Lin Yimila L'Shayach Mukta Any that Shayach to the is the Shayach U Befrat Yodua the second Shomila Im Lo Yazik Kul B'Nikios Yazik L'Tinoikos He crossed Tzarchei Mila. He says that you're allowed to wipe it off. It's called Tzarchei Mila. Tzarchei, the next Mila, not the previous Mila. How's different than doing dishes, which is? You sure? Yeah. Is it sure that it's awesome? It's so clear. We should wear a pass because it's awesome, but I guess so. But Shulchan Aruch is exactly that. All right, anyway, this is a tumble. We didn't finish. The Mechaber continues. We'll do that next week.